So am I the only person who is looking around at the responses this year to various happenings and thinking this is what social unraveling looks like? That, you know, I've said before that this, I've said for decades that this way of life is basically a pandemic waiting to happen, multiple pandemics waiting to happen. And I've been writing about the collapse of civilization for decades. And this is what the collapse of civilization looks like, that there's the economy is trundling along and then something happens, in this case, a virus, and then everything starts to unravel. It's like there's a history of responses to pandemics that you see social unrest in the wake of pandemics all the time. And I've been seeing people talk about how a lot of the social unrest that's happening right now, some of it is a response to real concern. Some of it is a response to social collapse and social unraveling. And some of it is a response to the baseball season being canceled, by which I mean people going stir crazy in their homes without being able to go out to eat, without being able to get together for the 4th of July picnic, without being able to go to church, without being able to just go water skiing, you know, whatever their deal is. And I think that there is a lot of pent up frustration, and I think that there is a, you know, they talk about how in many ways real wages have been declining in the United States since 1973. And there's a greater gap between rich and poor, and it's continuing to get larger and larger. And I know that when people feel, I mean, I've seen many, many studies about how up through the 70s, pretty much a lot of people had expectations that their children would have better lives than they do. And almost nobody has that expectation anymore. And that oftentimes unstated anxiety, and all of these different unstated anxieties, can add up and can lead to all sorts of, I don't want to say unexpected behavior because it's completely expected behavior, but can lead to all sorts of frantic behavior and can lead to all sorts of outlandish behavior. And, you know, I wrote about in Culture Make Believe how when you have an entire culture that's essentially based on competition, that as things unravel, we will search desperately for simple external, but not accurate necessarily, excuses for our unease, for our distress. And this is one way that racism can manifest, is that if my standard of living is going down, it's not my fault. And because we all identify with the general oppressive system, it can't be the fault of the entire exploitative system. But instead, it's got to be those Irish immigrants, those Romanian immigrants, those Polish immigrants, those Italian immigrants, those Mexican immigrants, those South Indian immigrants, those, it's always, it's those women joining the workforce. It's always something. And I am continually shocked and disappointed at myself because I've written for 20 years about how crazy this culture is, and yet every time it shows itself to be crazy, I am shocked and disappointed yet again. And then I'm shocked and disappointed at myself for having been shocked and disappointed at what I predicted decades ago. And I look around and I see, you know, I hate the word hysteria because it's misogynist. You know, it comes from the same root as hysterectomy, that women have this womb that causes them to be crazy and to go hysterical and to get the vapors. And so I don't like the word hysterical. Mania? What I see happening all over, and it doesn't matter right, left, I see a lot of social manias, and I see a lot of hyper-reactivity to, and I don't see a lot of reasoned discourse, and I don't see a lot of well, what I see is what we see at the ends of empires. What we see is what we saw at the extended end of the Roman Empire. What we see is what we see at the Montagnards of the French Revolution. And I think that this is just going to continue because we are increasingly out of control as ecological collapse unravels around us, as civilization unravels around us, as empire unravels around us, as society unravels around us. I'd say buckle your seatbelt, you're in for a wild ride, but I'm not sure that we want to be buckled in. I think maybe we want to be able to move quickly when the time comes. This is yet another video that is not prescriptive in saying this is what we need to do, because I don't know how to prescribe actions that are commensurate with the generation or two generation long or multiple generation collapse that has been 6,000 years in the making. And I think to try to suggest an individual response to this that is both ecologically sane, socially sane, personally sane, it's like, what is the appropriate response when you're in a train that is hurtling over a cliff? And I don't want to say that, though, because that implies that there is nothing we can do and all you can do is say your goodbyes. And I don't want that to be the implication at all, because I still think that there are things one can do to protect those one loves, by whom I include wild places and wild beings. I think a better example would be what do you do when you are faced with the collapse that comes with maybe this is a book I need to do. Maybe I need to write a book that looks at historical collapses, what people did through them, and what, you know, I've said before that all of my work is based on the idea that this way of living won't last. And when it's over, I would rather that there is more of the real world, wild nature left than less. And so maybe what I need to do is write a book about what happens during collapses and how one can help whomever and whatever one loves, which can include one's humans, friends, and family as well, to maintain life, sanity, and dignity through the collapse.